It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okbanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a
Colbert.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Tuesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. Inside the Shirley Street studio. Wouldn't mind being outside. Beautiful day. Hope you're able to enjoy it. It is May 16 of 2023. And as usual, an ambitious agenda laid out for today's program. First things first, however you are tuned in, I appreciate it, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Speaking of that website, bookmark it. That's where you get all sorts of local, statewide, national sports news and scores. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page. Type in 1650thefan. You'll find us there on the Zuckerberg machine. Hammer that like button, and your Facebook experience will improve. I have crunched the numbers. It is a statistical fact. So go hit that like button on Facebook. And save the number in your phone if you ever feel compelled to dial in with any questions, comments, or maybe even criticisms. I can't imagine that being a thing, though. Number 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918. 1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or if you'd rather email, then do that. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. Of course, questions, comments, maybe there's something or someone you'd like to hear about or from on a future show, go ahead, send away. Don't be shy, fire me an email, Cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up today on the show, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a little bit. A lot to get to in the stack today. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys from Vegas, and also get you a forecast from Megan Mulford for the rest of this beautiful Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. We'll come back in the second segment, and the Panther Caravan is making its local stop tonight in downtown Waterloo at Single Speed Brewing from 6 to 7:30. So I figured, well, we should connect with the Panther today on the show. And former UNI All-American, current UNI men's basketball assistant coach Seth Tuttle is going to join the show. Just some loose ends to tie up or just some things that take place over the college basketball offseason that I think makes it a great time to check in with Coach Tuttle today on the show. So we can talk to him about hopefully enjoying the summer, being able to enjoy getting out and seeing the Panther faithful at the Caravan tonight, and also dig in on the basketball side of things when Coach Tut joins us in the next segment of today's show. After we're done talking UNI hoops with Coach Tuttle, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa sports from Todd Kim during the break, come back on the other side, and rather than get up on my Cubs soapbox and probably make, you know, all of our Cardinal fans that tune in turn the channel, Or maybe actually, I would imagine probably more of you stick around for that because you just know it's coming. Like, what's better than listening to a Cub fan 9 times out of 10? Or what would that be? You know, 107 out of 108 times to make a quick little World Series joke. But nonetheless, I decided against that today. Not going to get up on the soapbox because there's too much to bitch about, frankly. And we're going to bring Michael Cerami, our friend from BleacherNation.com. The guys do such a great job covering Cubs baseball over there and Chicago sports in general, and then baseball in general. It's check it out, BleacherNation.com. And Michael's become a great friend of the show. He'll join us in the third segment. The Cubs now 3 games under .500. 7-15 since, if you can recall, a few weeks back, maybe just over 3 weeks ago now, Drew Smyly nearly threw a no-hitter against the Dodgers, and the Cubs have gone 7-15 since that game where Smyly almost had the no-no. So, yeah, you know, you get out of work and you listen to pregame on the way home and you're listening in the kitchen, and then maybe you get sat down to watch it, and you're like, this will be a great way to spend the evening, right? You got the windows open, the fresh breeze blowing through the house, and the Cubs lose another one. And I just, why do we do this to ourselves? I don't know. Must like to get hurt or something like that. I don't know. Perhaps I should see a doctor, but I don't even know if that can help. But, hey, positive vibes. Back on the winning track tonight, Cubs at Houston, game 2 out of 3, 6:35 pregame, 7:10 first pitch for that one, and we'll talk Cubs with Michael Cerami in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show today. You know, I just saw, I should have done my usual kind of browsing the trending topics a little sooner today, but I was so dialed in on getting ready for this show and talking to Coach Tuttle. But I did see some pretty big news here, especially when it comes to this particular sports media industry. I know we've got people out there that are Pat McAfee fans, Pat McAfee show fans, and you know, a lot of people in the area, if you don't know, one of the mainstays on Pat's show, Ty Schmidt, is from Waterloo, Iowa. As if you watch the show, I'd imagine, or listen to the podcast, I'd imagine you probably know that. But there is a local tie there with what's obviously become a sensation, both Pat McAfee himself, as a retired NFL football player, now media personality, and that show. And I don't obviously have the time to watch it. I'm busy working, but I like to watch their clips on their YouTube page. Quite regularly. I think they do great content, and you know, there's so many options out there these days that I think that just speaks to how talented they all have proven to be with their ability to do it in a way that, you know, it, the cream rose to the top here with Pat McAfee and his show. He's going to ESPN. He had been under a lucrative deal with FanDuel, $120 million deal with FanDuel, and now he's going to ESPN, reportedly going to make $10 million a year. The show's going to air on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN's YouTube page. But the big thing here, I think, is like, one of the things I like is that, their ability to be candid, because they own their own content, and they own their own YouTube page, and they were able to curse. And if it's not forced, if it's not contrived cursing, you're like, that's a lot of times, not everybody, but you'd be like, yeah, that's how me and my boys chop it up when we're talking sports. And you could probably, you know, you can say some words on this, on terrestrial radio, but you go on YouTube, you know, you can say the magic four-letter word, and if that's what you need to get your point across, then I can appreciate it. But apparently, they're still going to be able to do it. But they just asked him not to do it as much. So perhaps there's going to be a delay and they're going to be able to bleep him. I don't know. Or they won't bleep it on the YouTube page, but they'll bleep it on television via delay. But a very interesting story here. And good for those guys. They've earned it. So big news there. Pat McAfee going to ESPN. How about that? All right, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Tuesday. Entries into the boys' state golf meet were on the line yesterday. District meets held in classes 1A, 2A, and 3A. Top two teams and top two individuals from districts qualify for state. And in class 3A, Waverly Shellrock qualified. Go Hawks runners-up at the meet held in Waverly. And in 2A, Grundy Center won the district meet held at Dyke. Defending state champion Hudson was runner-up. Both the Spartans and Pirates moving on to state. And in 1A, AGWSR took second to qualify for state at a district meet in Mason City. Yesterday in girls golf, Cedar Falls took part in the final round of the MVC Mississippi Divisional Meet in Cedar Rapids. Dubuque Wallert took first. Tigers were third. Yesterday in Metro High School baseball, opening night, Iowa City High swept a doubleheader from Cedar Falls, winning by scores of 7-0 and 6-2. Cedar Rapids Xavier swept Waterloo West, winning 9-2 and 18-0. And Waterloo East got a big win at Wapsie Valley, 14-0. The boys' high school soccer postseason kicked off last night. Class 1A and 2A first-round sub-state games taking place across the state. In Area 2A games, Applington Parkersburg beat New Hampton 7-1, and Independence stopped West Delaware 2-0. The state's larger schools in action this evening, Class 3A and 4A boys' first-round sub-state matches. In Area 3A games, Waverly Shellrock is at Cedar Rapids Xavier, and Sumner Fredericksburg plays host to Western Dubuque. The latest Iowa High School boys' tennis coaches polls are out. Two area schools in the rankings. In 2A, Cedar Falls is 10th, and in 1A, Waverly Shellrock is 10th. Girls' team regional tennis action today in 1A and 2A, and matches involving area schools in 2A, Cedar Falls and Waterloo West in regional semifinals. Tigers take on Linmar, Waterloo West playing Cedar Rapids Jefferson. You win, you advance to the regional finals. And in a 1A regional final, Waterloo Columbus hosting Dyke New Hartford at Burns Park. Meanwhile, today in Metro Baseball, Cedar Falls plays a doubleheader at Linmar, and in girls soccer, Waterloo West hosts Linmar and Waterloo East plays at Mason City. Hey, did you see this? A new rule change is coming to high school basketball next season. According to a release from the National Federation of High Schools, high school teams next year will shoot two free throws for common fouls when in the bonus. This will eliminate the one-and-one scenario and sets new foul limits each quarter for awarding the bonus free throw. In addition to awarding two foul shots for all common fouls, teams will reach the bonus when their opponent commits five fouls in each quarter. Team fouls will reset then at the end of each quarter. Previously, teams were awarded the one-and-one bonus when their opponents committed seven fouls in a half and two foul shots when 10 fouls were committed each half. The rule will be identical to that of women's college basketball. The Wartburg softball team faces Milliken in the first round of the NCAA D3 tournament on Thursday. The game played at Trine University in Angola, Indiana. Time yet to be announced. Knights are making their 11th appearance in the NCAA tournament in program history. They beat Luther in the American Rivers Conference Tournament Championship Sunday to earn the automatic bid. Wartburg 23-16 this season. Milliken 30-9. The Iowa softball team has accepted an invitation to play in the 5th annual National Invitational Softball Championships. The event will be played Friday through Sunday in Fort Collins, Colorado. The 8-team field consists of BYU, Cal State Northridge, Iowa, Maryland, San Jose State, South Dakota State, Tarleton State, and UC Davis. The Hawkeyes open play against UC Davis Thursday morning at 11. The tournament is double elimination, played over consecutive days, concludes with a 4-team single elimination championship bracket. The Iowa football team will open up Big Ten play with a road game at Penn State in primetime on CBS. It's the first kickoff time to be announced for the Hawkeyes' 2023 schedule. Kickoff for Iowa-Penn State at 7 p.m. on September 23rd, and it's going to be a whiteout game in Happy Valley. This is the first season that CBS will be broadcasting Big Ten games. And the WNBA's Los Angeles Sparks have waived rookie center Monica Sinano, the former Iowa Hawkeye. Sinano, if you recall, a first-team All-Big Ten player for the Hawkeyes this past season, averaged 17 points and 6.5 rebounds as a senior, helping Iowa reach the NCAA championship game. She was a third-round draft pick of the Sparks in the April WNBA draft. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update and a forecast. All coming your way on the other side. Panther Caravan making its local stop in downtown Waterloo tonight. It's Single Speed Brewing, 6 to 7:30. We're going to connect with UNI men's basketball coach Seth Tuttle next, right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports Flash.
Must be for all the kids. This report is brought to you by HelloFresh. With 40 weekly recipe options, there's always something new to try. Get 16 free meals plus free shipping with code SKATE16 at HelloFresh.com/SKATE16. Shake up dinner time with HelloFresh. There's a lot of big-name coaches on the market right now, and today came another with the Sixers firing Doc Rivers after three seasons. On Sunday, he lost his 10th Game 7 of a playoff series. That's that diminished Philly's best season since 2001, in which Rivers led the Sixers to the conference semifinals in each of his three seasons, but didn't get past that point, blowing a 3-2 lead to the Celtics this year. The four conference finalists are the same as they were in 2020. The West finals open tonight in Denver, which lost to the Lakers in the bubble 3 years ago. Only LeBron James and Anthony Davis remain from the Lakers squad, while Denver comes back with a core of Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic, and sports a 34-7 home record this year in the regular season, 6-0 at home in the postseason. The Pistons, Rockets, and Spurs have the best odds at getting the number one pick in tonight's NBA draft lottery. I'm Rich Ecker.
This is Jim Rome. Have a strong take? Then I want to hear from you weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern right here on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
This is Ron Coomer. Join me and the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes for Cubs baseball right here on The Fan.
At Waterloo Schools, we offer cutting-edge, rigorous, and relevant academic experiences that prepare our students for college, military service, and a wide range of high-demand careers. But we can't do this alone. Partners in Education is a powerful network of businesses and organizations that support Waterloo Schools in a variety of ways through sponsorships, volunteering, and more. This exciting cooperative agreement is between a business or an organization and one or more of our schools. The Partners in Education partnership can be tailored and customized to meet the unique needs of your business and our schools. We currently have over 50 community partners who contribute in their own unique ways to the welfare of our schools, the students, and the staff. And we're excited to keep growing our partnerships this spring. Together, we're growing champions from kindergarten to careers, college, and beyond. We rely on a wide range of businesses and organizations throughout the Cedar Valley, like coffee shops, banks, bowling alleys, and more, to join us as partners in education. Reach us at waterlooschools.org. With us, the future is now.
Pardon me, just blew in. I'm Zook.
I'm Freddy, and those are my fellow butts.
Wow, there are so many here. What's going on?
We've been hanging here for months. This place never cleans their lot. Rocky over there is throwing a party.
Let's kick it!
You should go meet the other rappers.
Oh, no! Looks like the party's over, folks. There's an A-Line sweeper.
I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Make sure the only parties happening in your parking lot are organized by you. Call or go online to alinestriping.com.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Juice Reel, the betting intelligence tool that's making better bettors. Open the App Store and get your hands on Juice Reel. Start betting smarter. Juice R-E-E-L. Juice Reel.
Chicago Cubs are looking to end a three-game losing streak as Justin Steele with a perfect 6-0 record takes the hill at Minute Maid Park against Christian Javier and the Astros. Houston, $1.65 home favorite. Chicago plus 150, 7.5 under the total. Jordan Montgomery on the mound for the Cardinals, $1.80 favorite against Wade Miller and the Brewers today, plus 165, 8 over at Busch Stadium. Shane Bieber takes the hill today with the Guardians, $1.20 road favorite of the White Sox, plus 110. Lance Lynn, 1-5 on the hill with the White Sox, 8 under at guaranteed rate fee. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 52 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the north 8 to 15 miles an hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 75. Lows around 53 tomorrow night. Partly cloudy skies. Low 80s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Chance for scattered showers on Friday. Highs in the upper 60s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 80.
We're going to skate to one song only.
You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan in the Cedar Valley at 102.3 FM and across Eastern Iowa at 1650 AM.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. The Panther Caravan is making its local stop tonight in downtown Waterloo at Single Speed Brewing. And if you haven't made your evening plans yet, you can still make it out. 6 to 7:30 the event tonight, and typically you got athletic director David Harris and an ensemble of head coaches, and with the head coaches doing their duties, I said, well, let's talk about that caravan a little bit. Let's talk some basketball, and let's see if we can get Coach Seth Tuttle on the show, and we got him. Assistant Coach Seth Tuttle joins us now. Coach Tutt, how you doing today? Thanks for being here.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on. I'm sorry that you're gonna have to deal with me. Coach Jake is busy.
It's okay. We'll make do, Seth. And how about we just start with, you know, this time of the year, you're kind of in your routine, I would imagine. It's got to be nice to break it up a little bit with events like the Panther Caravan and other fundraising events where you can get out and just kind of, you know, chat it up with your, you know, really what are your biggest fans.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. It's also, man, you hit it right on the nose when you said break it up a little bit. May is kind of our chill time a little bit. Our guys get the opportunity to head back home and hang out with family for a little bit. Lucky for us, our roster is set and ready to rock and roll for next year, so we don't have any portal stuff going on right now either. So we're, we get to live with a little less stress and get to go out and hang out with the fans and talk about our guys, talk about the year they had this last year, look into the future a little bit and mm-hmm. really just keep building on what our guys were able to do last year.
You know, you bring up the transfer portal, and I think for the most part, it's been a really good thing. But I do think you probably want to, you know, brag a little bit or just maybe pump your chest out a little bit about the culture with the program when at a time that you can count, I think, on your two hands, the amount of Division I programs that have not had a transfer, that the program that you're a part of, that you played for, are one of those programs. You guys have not had a player enter the transfer portal.
Yeah, you know, that comes from the top down. Okay. That just speaks to what Coach Jake, and many others have been able to do in building this program, and the culture that, basically the cloud that comes around our culture, right? The kids that are here, the kids that have been here, myself included, there's a ton of pride that comes with, and being able to wear, that Northern Iowa jersey on your chest with a lot of pride is something that we talk a lot about, something that we stress, and quite frankly, something that we talk about and look at when it comes to recruiting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when kids commit to the Panthers and when families commit to the Panthers, it's something that, we know that they feel really strongly about and that we know that they know that this is a commitment from us and Coach Jake that, you know, we're not just going to go and try to get the next best player. We're also committed to you and giving you everything that we got to make you the best player and to use your skill set within our program, right? Not just going to dump you for the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. And Coach Tuttle, what does that mean with regard to what you've learned in your short time as an assistant coach, having moved up the bench to assistant with regard to recruiting? I would imagine that you could probably look back on, you know, your first few months in recruiting and go, man, if I only knew now what I didn't know then. I mean, I would have to imagine that for as much as you know about the game, you could probably only really learn recruiting, even though you got recruited, by going out there and doing it.
Yeah, that's, you hit it again. Hey, you're a smart guy now. You're hitting all these things on the you need a raise.
I'm gonna say I'm saving the audio. We're making sure this gets saved, and I'm emailing it to the boss after we're done here.
Yeah, yes, sir. No, you know, you hit it on the nail again, right? Like, and it's funny because even with my connections and my relationships with a bunch of people within our program, you know, there were a lot of people who had doubts about me being named an assistant coach just because of my recruiting inexperience, mm-hmm. right? Not had ever done it. And it's funny because, you know, there's some doubts that creep into your mind, obviously, when you try to do something new, something you've never done before, and you know that, you know, you need to perform. But at the same time, what I've realized is that no one has done what we're doing right now because the portal, the way in which you recruit, the way in which how this is working, like, it's new for everybody. So we're all trying to figure it out at the same time, basically with no experience at all. So glad that I got in when I did. Glad Coach Jay gave me the opportunity, and glad that you know it's a whirlwind, and we're all basically trying to learn this together as we go.
You guys got what looks to be a really impressive 2023 class of recruits: Kyle Polk, Wesley Rubin, R.J. Taylor. From everything I've been able to gather, three guys that seem like they could very well contribute to the team right away next season. Tell us about these three Panthers that I would imagine you're getting on campus in a month or two here.
Yeah, man, we are so excited for these three, you know, and they each bring something a little different, something a little unique in terms of what they bring to the floor. But what I will tell you is they add to our culture, right? They add to what we talked a little bit about just a minute ago, with, you know, the culture in which that we are trying to build. Mm-hmm. Three guys who are really competitive, three guys that love winning, three guys that have won at everything that they've done. You know, they're winners. And then that's something that we've talked a lot about within our recruiting. You know, we want kids who, you know, they're on this team, they win. They help that team win games. They're in this sport doing this with this team, their team is winning. And that's something that we look for sure. And these three are right there, man. They're as competitive as it gets. They've won at the highest level, really, that they have possible. You know, Kyle was a huge part of Mokan winning EYBL, which is that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
And he was the one guy that their coach was talking about. Man, I just couldn't take him off the floor. And that speaks wonders because that team was loaded with talent.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just really excited about the three guys we got, and we're really excited about adding them to our group that we had this last year, because there's holes that our team had last year that these guys will be able to fill right in. There's needs that we needed last year that these three bring to the table for us. And then what it also does is it elevates everything we do on a day-to-day basis in terms of being competitive, right? Adding a whole nother layer to, you know, Kyle can shoot the heck out of it, so he's going to make Landon a better shooter when he has to shoot against Kyle every day.
Well, and Seth, sorry to interrupt, but I want to jump in here because one of the things, you know, covering you guys game in and game out, covering the program for years now, that's always stuck with me after I heard Coach Jake say it, I can't remember how many years ago, was that some of the best teams, and you know, one of which, at least one of which you were on, they practiced so hard, and that you guys had the bodies, the healthy bodies, to have your first, second, and maybe a second and a half, a third team in practice to just go at each other. And I think that was something that I wrote about it last year, but I talked about it here. But I think it can go overlooked, and understandably so to a degree by fans, but. Like, how important is that? Because your roster is full now, you're healthy, you know, knock on wood. How important will that be to be able to go at each other like it seems the program really benefits from when these teams can go at each other in practice every day?
Yeah, you know, it makes a ginormous difference. And you're right. You know, like our some of those better teams, like my senior year group, our second five could have been the starting five for almost every team in the Valley, right? And,
mm-hmm.
and you're right. Like we're doing a shutout drill in practice, and you got Nate Buss who's drilling a three pointer with two on the clock from four steps behind the 3-point line, and now we're running a 21 because we lost the drill, right? and you get you get that level. And then I just wanted to go and tackle Bud because I was so mad at him.
Yeah,
but
no,
he made
you
us better, right? Yeah.
No way. Yeah,
no, I know. Not me. Someone else. Someone who has a little more fire. No, so you know that level of the level that practice gets elevated to having more guys, having really a deep team, right? And you're right. You know, this last year, we were, and I learned this a lot from Coach Jake because I also this last year I was like, Coach, we're not practicing hard enough. We need to go. And he's like, I feel you. I want to do that, but here's a learning lesson for you. We also only have limited amount of bodies, and if we run them all into the ground, you know, we won't even have a team for games, right? For what matters. And obviously, it's fun for me because I get to learn from the best, and I just get to poke at him all day, every day, trying to get him to go, and he's teaching me life lessons and teaching me how to be a head coach and think of things in a bigger perspective a little bit. But yeah, man, this last year it was tough, you know, just not having the bodies, and so that's a big reason why we're excited for this year and this summer and just being able to get back to being really competitive.
UNI men's basketball assistant coach Seth Tuttle joining us for a few more minutes here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Panther Caravan in downtown Waterloo making its local stop tonight. It's Single Speed Brewing from 6 to 7:30. Real quick, Coach Tutt, on another addition you added out of the transfer portal, Jacob Hudson from Loyola Chicago. Remember watching him. Sure seemed like he's a good player, just needs to maybe find a better fit, better opportunity. And you guys sure, I would imagine, seem to think that you're that program for Jacob Hudson, a guy who brings size, you know, can't teach size, 6'10". How about this addition?
Yeah, man, I'm going to put this on air right now. So his new nickname is going to be Big Huddy. He doesn't know this yet, but I'm a big nickname guy, and I think it's already stuck in my head that I'm going to call him Big Huddy. But yeah, we're so excited to add him. You know, we recruited him out of high school. We loved him out of high school. He ended up going to Loyola, and at the time, Porter really had something going for him. Right, his freshman year, man, he played great, and then. Coaches changed and schemes changed and all that stuff, and he just needed a new home. And we're glad that you know, it didn't take long. I think he knew in his heart from the beginning, right when he was thinking portal. I think he was thinking Northern Iowa, and that's a perfect fit because you know we also needed another big body. You know, with what was happening with Fife over the last few years, you know, it's really just kind of put us in a tough spot in terms of having that big bulky body who can kind of man the middle a little bit for us.
Yeah.
And Huddy does that, you know, he's run an offense that's very similar in terms of his skill set. He's going to be able to drill pitch, roll, catch on the block, catch on the elbow, make backdoor passes, right? He fits what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And he's a great kid and we're excited to add him to the mix just as much as these three freshmen.
Speaking of Austin Fife, was really great to be able to see him get his degree this past weekend. I know Coach Jake's talked about it a little bit on the Panther Caravan, but what can you tell us, Coach Tuttle, about where things stand with Austin's health and potential return to basketball if the NCAA grants him that medical waiver?
Yeah, he's doing everything he can to be ready. He's working his body back into shape, and I can tell you, man, it hasn't taken long. You know, he didn't lift weights for a while there with all his health stuff, and so you know he had that big body, big strong body. He was in the best shape of his life a couple years ago, like he was a machine, and he lost that obviously as you would expect, not being able to do the workouts and lifting. And you know he's been coming in really early, coming in getting individual work as of late, and I seen him the other day, and his arms looked just like they did couple years ago, man. It didn't take long for him to get his body back into what appears to be shape, right? He's going to be ready to rock and roll. So basically right now we're hoping that he gets cleared for everything, right? He's doing workouts, he's doing lifting, he's getting his cardio back up. We're just waiting for the docs to give him the clear go ahead to do everything, and man, we're really praying for him because he's about as good of a kid as you can get, and he's a Panther through and through. So I just want him to we all want him to have one more year that he was expecting to have, basically, when he started college hoops.
Yeah, great young man, Austin Fife. And a couple other guys graduated from the team this past weekend, James Betts and Derek Krogman. Are those guys going to use remaining eligibility, Coach Tutt, or are they going to get into perhaps a post-basketball life?
Yep, they are. They are both moving on to bigger, better things. For Pops or James, obviously, it's his family.
Yep.
Diving into trying to figure out what he wants to do, get a job, start putting some money in the bank account for his little guy and his wife, and made the right decision. Right, he just understood at this time that he needed to put his family first, and he's given everything to this program that he has, and he's a tremendous. Tremendous young man. Like he's funny. Like he's that type of kid that you just are in the room and you just are like, he's always doing something that you're giggling about. And then Krogs is moving on as well. He's been itching for a little while now to kind of start his career. And he's gonna be a guy that's gonna do huge things. He's just a super, super motivated kid, really, really high, really really smart kid who's got some big dreams, and I can't wait to watch what he's able to do. He's already coming into the office and telling us, I'm doing this. I'm going to go to Florida for a week to check out this property. I'm going to flip. Like, he's ready to rock and roll.
So
he's ready to rock and roll, and I think they're both are really pleased with the time they had being Panthers and have been a big part of our program for sure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to watch both of those two in their careers. Seth, thanks so much for joining the show. Always appreciate it. You're always kind with your time, and enjoy your summer and enjoy the rest of May. As you said, that's kind of you guys' off time. So hopefully you get some time to have some fun with the family.
Yeah, absolutely. I got two little ones right now that are making my downtime not quite downtime, but it's fun, man. It's fun. It's worth it.
Awesome. Thanks, Coach Tutt. Take care.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Seth Tuttle, UNI men's basketball assistant coach, kind enough to join us on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Panther Caravan in downtown Waterloo tonight at Single Speed Brewing from 6 to 7:30. So if you haven't made your plans yet, there you go. You got plans. Check it out. Downtown Waterloo tonight, the Panther Caravan. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports. During the break, we'll come back and we'll talk Cubs baseball. Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com, joins us next right here on Cole & Company.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Keum. Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller will continue with his revamped pitching rotation for Thursday's start of a three-game Big Ten series at Northwestern. Marcus Morgan and Ty Langenberg moved up a day. Brody Breck moved from Game 1 to Game 3. The Hawkeyes responded by sweeping Michigan State. The starting pitchers combined for 17 innings of work and gave up only 3 runs.
Yes, it worked out great this weekend, and it doesn't always go like that, but this time it did, very happy about that, and that's what we'll do this week.
The Hawkeyes are 37-12 overall, 13-7 in the Big Ten. In the International League tonight, the Iowa Cubs open a series in Indianapolis. Midwest League, Cedar Rapids host Peoria. The Quad Cities are at Wisconsin. And the Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball program ranked second nationally in total attendance last season, bringing in more than 200,500 fans to Carver Hawkeye Arena. This is Radio Iowa.
Why? Just think about it. Why is the number one selling brand of chainsaws not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot? We can give you over 10,000 reasons. That's how many authorized local steel dealers you can find across the country. Visit one and you'll find a range of dependable gas and battery-powered tools, from trimmers to blowers. And you'll find service from experienced professionals. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, college scholarships for the children of law enforcement, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on the USDSA and how you can help, visit usdeputy.org.
Three Cedar Falls High School students have earned the highest possible ACT composite score of 36.
Senior Jack Beecher, son of Michelle and Bo Beecher. Senior Ashkat Mehta, son of Tulsi Sharma and Pankaj Mehta. And Junior Sai Pranav Kota, son of Nutana Induru and Gopi Kota. All earn perfect scores. The ACT is a curriculum-based achievement exam that measures what students have learned in school. About 0.25% of students who take the ACT earn a top score. In the U.S. high school graduating class of 2022, only 3,376 out of 1.34 million students who took the ACT earned a top composite score of 36. Students who earn a 36 composite score have likely mastered all the skills and knowledge they will need to succeed in first-year college courses in the core subject areas.
Cedar Falls Schools. Every student, every day.
Get everything for your automotive needs with 11% off at Menards. Pennzoil offers superior synthetic motor oil. It can get you better fuel economy and protects your engine to keep you on the road. Grab a 5-quart jug of Pennzoil synthetic motor oil for just $15.99 after 11% rebate at Menards. Good through May 21st. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Tuesday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. Cubs baseball coming up tonight. Game two of a three-game set in Houston. Cubs evened it up at four last night after getting down early. Another Chris Morel home run. He's been a lot of fun to watch so far. But, man, it's just been tough sledding lately for the Cubs. So rather than me get up on my soapbox like I like to do, I figured let's bring some sense to this and have a thoughtful conversation about where the Chicago Cubs stand, because I think it's three games under 500 now, but we saw flashes earlier in the season that, hey, this looks like a team that might be able to compete in a very winnable division. So Michael Cerami, our great friend from BleacherNation.com, joins us now. Follow Michael on Twitter at Michael_Cerami. Michael, thanks so much for being here today. How are you?
Well, I'd be doing a little bit better if they weren't three games under 500, but I think I was just introduced as the voice of reason, so I guess I'll have to play that role. It's all okay. It's going to be fine.
Okay, good. This I don't know if this is radio or more of a therapy session today. I'm just trying to make heads or tails about how to feel, because the classic baseball refrain is let the sample size build. You know, continue to let the sample size build. But the Cubs are 7-15 since Drew Smyly nearly threw that no-hitter a few weeks back. And there's been plenty of roster decisions and lineup decisions and manager decisions to make us all scratch our head and make for plenty to talk about. So what's your state of affairs, Michael? Like, what's front of mind for you right now, good, bad, or indifferent about this team?
Sure. Well, I think for one, I think it's probably a little too easy to lose sight of the fact that Cubs are still just three games under 500. I think that hanging around 500 is always like the goal, you know, at least for the start of the season. And hopefully by the time you get to July, you can make some decisions about pushing more of your chips in for this year. Maybe not going all in, but making a decision or two to patch a hole or two in July at the trade deadline. So to that end, we're not entirely, you know, down the river yet. So that's one thing. Another thing is, had they not started so hot, I think we probably would have thought about this team a little bit differently. If they ended up at 19-22 by starting off with that 7-15 stretch and then racing back, you know, yeah, feel a little bit better. I also think that during the stretch, the Cubs have played without Jameson Taillon for parts of it, without Yan Gomes, who's contributing on both sides of the ball really well, and without Nico Hoerner. And those are three really important players. So every team is dealing with injuries, and you can't just point to those as excuses. There's been some underperformance and some questionable decisions. But on the whole, they still are the team that did perform so well early on. And a lot of that was based on really strong performances from guys we didn't expect, maybe like Cody Bellinger. So I still feel all right. We do have Chris Morel up. We do have Matt Mervis up. We got to let them. Morel started off hot. We're going to let Mervis find his footing a little bit, and yeah, we're going to get Nico Hoerner back as soon as this weekend. So I think there's still a lot of reasons for optimism. They just need to start performing because, unfortunately, unlike some other teams that may have a longer leash, they could, you know, the planning for the deadline can start much sooner for this Cubs team than it would for a team like even like the Cardinals, who started off so much worse than the Cubs but have these higher expectations for this season. So if we want to avoid a sell-off in July, and that's the goal in my book, they got to start winning in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Michael Cerami, BleacherNation.com, our guest right now on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow Michael on Twitter at Michael_Cerami. Cubs baseball tonight here on The Fan. Game 2 in Houston, 6:35 pregame, 7:10 first pitch. Kind of circling back to decision-making that's made us scratch our heads and honing in on David Ross, the manager. I mean, who doesn't love David Ross? If you're a Cubs fan, you like David Ross. You make him a manager, you open up, you know, the possibility that you still like the guy, but maybe you don't like manager David Ross. And I feel like I'm getting there, Michael. And, of course, I don't want to be here. I think it sure seems like he does a great job running a clubhouse, creating a culture, you know, having the type of productive relationships that he should have with his players. David Ross has probably forgotten more baseball than I'll ever know, but damn it, man. I mean, there has been some head scratchers, and I'm losing my hair now in my 30s. I can't really afford to be scratching my head this much from David Ross this season. I mean, what do you think about some of the managerial decisions, really, like, you know, some of the bunts that have been put on, the bullpen management? Joe Maddon got a lot of crap, and I feel like I'm probably questioning David Ross as much or maybe more than I ever did Joe Maddon.
Yeah, so David Ross came in with a bit of a leg up in a reverse way. Because so for one, we all loved him. That's true. For another, the COVID season and the weird spring training and the lockout kind of disrupted his early spring training for the last few years. And then it's kind of to a point now where it's like, listen, we all know that this roster isn't built to contend for the World Series necessarily right now. But it does start to feel when you lose multiple one-run games in a row, when Eric Hosmer again is taking key at-bats, when we're asking, you know, Patrick Wisdom to bunt, or when we're bunting at all with a runner on second and extra innings. Like, it is kind of the stuff where I just don't get it. And yeah, Unfortunately, you know, it's not really fair to fans, even though it's not fair to managers in a sense too. They can't, you know, this is a general truism, not just specifically to David Ross. There's always these things where you go, well, we don't know what he knows. We don't know who, you know, was tired from a late night out the night before, who's actually banged up and couldn't swing fully, and so on and so forth. But at a certain point, you can't just use that excuse for every single decision that seems to be crummy. And for me, it's less so about the bullpen decisions, which might sound surprising to a lot of people, than it is for some of the lineup decisions and the bunt or swing, you know, in-game management. When he burns two guys and pinch hits for someone, it's like a pinch runs for a guy he just pinch hit for when he was a better option to swing anyway. The bullpen stuff is kind of like, right now, the Cubs are in a tough spot. They are. Keegan Thompson, Michael Fulmer, and Brad Boxberger were supposed to be the three rocks of this bullpen. They were supposed to be the guys that provided the stability for the other guys to be sorted through, mixed and matched, found out the right roles, and so on. That's sort of the way the Cubs have succeeded and created these great bullpens in the past. They've had guys like David Robertson and Andrew Chafin and Ryan Zepeda to kind of like lock things down while the rest of the bullpen is figured out. This year, it's like almost been in reverse. Keegan Thompson has not looked right for pretty much the entire season. Brad Boxberger has not looked right since the first week of the season. Michael Fulmer had a very, very rough start. Looks good. His pitches look good, but the results are just not there. They are clearly not there. So now you have to rely on your Brandon Hughes and your Mark Weider Jr.'s and your Everett Alvarez, guys that you shouldn't have to be relying upon, guys that should still be figuring out their role to a certain extent, to get you over. And then when you do turn it over to the guys that you're supposed to trust, it all falls apart. Mm-hmm. Or, by contrast, if Edward Elzeli has one bad outing or two bad outings, but at the wrong time, well, then there really isn't anything to fall back on. So I do think that the bullpen decisions, you know, at a certain point, the guys that are here have to pitch, and he only has so many options. And guys that you trust cannot pitch every single day. It just does not work that way. So I don't think that part has been a product. The stress that we're receiving from the bullpen hasn't been a product so much of David Ross's decisions as it has performance of the players in the bullpen. And, yeah, that's another frustrating thing to hear, I know, but that's one that I think is true. But that does not leave David Ross off the hook.
No.
For a lot of the other stuff that has made me scratch my head, unquestioning.
I think the theme of the conversation today, Michael, is basically hurry up and wait. I mean, is that not baseball? I mean, you want to talk about it in the now, but you know it's always more pragmatic to, like I said earlier, let the sample size grow. And in fairness to all these guys, for as many scabs as there unfortunately are to pick right now with the Cubs, we owe them another, what, month, 6 weeks of baseball before we get our pitchforks, and hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, no question about it. And listen, again, I'm dead serious here. There is a lot of talent on this team, a lot.
Yeah.
The way we saw them perform in early April was not fluky. They were winning those games because they were performing. And a lot of those guys that were performing, especially on the offensive side of the ball, are still performing just as well. Dansby Swanson has gotten better. Ian Happ is still getting on base a ton. Nico Hoerner is gone right now, but he's hurt right now. But he has been as good as a leadoff hitter and as steady as a contributor defensively as you could ever have hoped him to be. Patrick Wisdom is having quietly an excellent season.
Yeah.
We've started to see a few cracks, and you have to maybe protect him against certain right-handed pitchers that throw hard up in the zone. But, boy, there's plenty of room in between for him to hit homer after homer after homer. And you could kind of go on and on. Trey Mancini has even had good performances. Seiya Suzuki, who's is a guy that I think a lot of people point to as someone who's struggling. You actually go and look at the numbers, they're not that bad. And you go look at the underlying success that he's making, and it's pretty strong. I think he's going to be fine. So there's a lot of stuff like that. And I can go down the roster. It hasn't come together yet. They're counting on a few variables that are not necessarily within their control entirely. Who knows if Matt Mervis is going to pitch or is going to perform well right away. We don't know that. Is Chris Morel, is he capable of continuing to produce at a level like this with a 38% strikeout rate? Well, maybe that's something that we got to think about. Is Jameson Taillon still on a pitch count? Is Kyle Hendricks going to actually contribute when he comes back? Who's going to settle down the bullpen? So on and so forth. A lot of questions, but there is still a lot of talent, and I have no problem giving them another 6 weeks to figure it out. It's just that sooner than later, the Cubs front office is going to start making plans for the deadline. And that's when it can all end, because you got to start winning sooner than later. But I do believe the Cubs are capable of doing just that.
Michael, I'm going to believe too. So we'll wrap.
It's our curse, right?
Yeah,
that's what we do. We're Cubs fans.
It's the beauty and the madness. There's no doubt about it. Great stuff. Great to catch up with you. Always enjoy the conversation. And enjoy tonight's Cubs game. Hopefully we can enjoy a win later on.
Sounds good. You too. And thanks for having me.
Did you know there's a place where you can get good neighbor service and surprisingly great rates on home and auto insurance? Yep, here's the deal. This is State Farm agent Brad Jacobson, and I am your go-to agent in Cedar Falls for the service you deserve at the price you want. So stop shopping around. Call me, Brad Jacobson, at 319-277-4134 for your surprisingly great rates today. 319-277-4134. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Drafting a generational talent is rare for any NBA team. For starters, elite basketball prospects don't come around that often. And with the lottery in place, no team is ever guaranteed the number one overall pick. But even though the odds may not be in your team's favor, there's still plenty of hope. Victor Wembanyama is a generational star. The Frenchman has reportedly grown to 7'5", with a wingspan of nearly 8 feet. He has handle, range, and athleticism. 19 years of age, Wembanyama may still take some time to elevate his future team into a contender. But when you look at the impact some of the past generational talents have had on the NBA, it's hard not to get excited about tonight. Look at what LeBron did in Cleveland, Hakeem did in Houston, Patrick Ewing did for the Knicks. So if you can, tune into the lottery tonight, because with so much riding on where those ping pong balls will fall, we all may be watching an important part of NBA history. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
You've heard CEO Howard Mackler of Innovation Refunds and GetRefunds.com explain how he's helped so many small businesses with the ERC tax refunds. In fact, Innovation Refunds has already completed over 17,000 returns for many kinds of businesses just like yours. construction, retail, restaurants, bars, hotels, and so many more. Government data experts have estimated that 86% of small businesses were likely eligible to receive an ERC tax credit. The challenge is cutting through all the red tape to get your money. Innovation Refunds has specialized tax attorneys who are experienced in government application tax returns. Going to take you about 8 minutes to start the process. You have to go to GetRefunds.com. No upfront charge. They don't get paid until you get paid. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $5 billion in payroll tax refunds. GetRefunds.com or download the app from the App Store today. That's GetRefunds.com. Good luck.
Welcome back for a final time on this Tuesday. Got to thank you and I, men's basketball assistant coach Seth Tuttle, for joining today's show. Panther Caravan with its local stop tonight in downtown Waterloo at Single Speed Brewing. That's from 6 to 7:30. You can still make it over there. Partake in the festivities. And BleacherNation.com's Michael Cerami. Shout out to Michael for joining today's show. Speaking of that, Cubs baseball coming up in a little over a half hour's time. Game two in this three-game set in Houston against the Astros. Pre-game coverage at 6:35. First pitch at 7:10. I will be back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.